Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
The expansion application has been confirmed. They've paid a $10 million and... Are you eating on the air? This guy gets rattled at me for mispronouncing Pyeongchang, and then you start mucking food. I don't care anymore. What do I care about your opinion?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Very significant update, I guess, that the scoreboard was stuck close towards the ice. It wasn't on the ice, but it was like hovering over the ice, and it was stuck for a long time, and Twitter's been blowing up from guys like Masters, and I'm sure Kristen Shilton's down there, and Jonas, and the usual beat reporters covering the Leaf game. They've been down there since 5 o'clock or 5:30, so constantly updating us on the fact that there are a bunch of mechanics on the ice who are losing their minds because they couldn't get the scoreboard to elevate and move back up into its regular position. Well, turns out we're all good. It's all good. The scoreboard is moving back into its regular position.
The game
can
go on.
Be able to play tonight with Columbus in town. That would set panic off, though, you would think. Like, if there was a malfunction and you can't move the scoreboard, you can't play, right? Like,
nothing you can do.
I guess you could play.
What, with the scoreboard if it's hovering like above the ice?
20 feet above the ice. It would end. It would put an end to the flip play into the neutral zone. You wouldn't be able to do that.
And there'd be the danger of it going 25 feet lower and squishing. I think in Buffalo a long time ago, one just went down on the ice.
But why isn't that same potential there when it's 100 feet in the air?
I don't know. You're right.
Like how is it any different 25 feet up or 100 feet up?
I don't know. I never want to even think of that scenario. It would just be the most grossest, awful thing.
Well, no kidding. If you're playing and all of a sudden the scoreboard falls,
ugh. But I mean, there's
no
so
guy
secure.
For me.
Yeah, they're so secured. Like it's just a malfunction.
Yeah, it's fine.
Leaning on the wrong button or something and reset it. Who knows?
Think about the grit grinder that got the call though.
Yeah,
from Lou.
You got to go down and fix the scoreboard.
There's been an unfortunate set of circumstances with the scoreboard on the ice. And if you don't get this figured out,
it is your fault.
We will be losing our minds. Like, would you just automatically be allowed to reschedule that? Or would you have to, like, concede points because it's your own building? Like, it's not a weather problem that the power didn't go out league-wide.
I think you got to reschedule it.
Yeah, it's a technical difficulty. You wouldn't lose points. You wouldn't forfeit the game because your scoreboard messed up.
Wouldn't you, though, if you're Columbus, demand that?
Forfeit?
I would. I'd be like, we want 2 points. We came here. We're ready to play. It's not our fault that these guys don't know what the hell they're doing with their scoreboard.
Well, there was a situation in Washington where the weather was bad a couple years ago, and I think Anaheim, they had to go cross-country and play that
back
game.
There, yeah.
That's right, weather, though. Weather. That's like the fans can't show up because of the weather, and it's dangerous for the teams to get on the bus and try to get to the rink or the flights coming in.
Last second, something like that happens. Do you move the game to Rico?
How do you decide and determine
who
who's allowed in?
Yeah.
You know, like the platinum seats are allowed in, but the plugs up in the top shelf, you guys aren't allowed in?
General admission. It would get rescheduled if you couldn't play. It would get
I'm
rescheduled.
Sure it would. I'm sure it would. And we're okay. We're all good.
Yeah.
There's no need
We've
for.
We've just
it.
Wasted a bunch of time on the scoreboard.
Well, I was going to bring it up because I guess it just got moving. Like it just got moving like 10 minutes ago. Like during the last break, I was
warm ups in half an hour.
Yeah. Like it actually was a legitimate story until it started moving.
That's why I brought it up.
Good work. We're much better today. Yeah, like we started the show and. We were reading, someone texted in earlier, like at 4 o'clock, saying yesterday's show was pathetic, which I thought was a bit harsh.
A little hard on you.
Like, that cuts pretty deep, saying it's pathetic.
Like, we actually tried.
We didn't, like, quit.
Yeah.
We didn't just stop talking. We were trying to engage people and entertain the audience.
Like, it was just a pathetic effort.
Yeah. It's one thing, again, to throw out a cliche that it was the worst show of all time.
Yeah.
That's not true. There have been worse shows. May not have been our best show, but I'm sure in the history of radio there have been worse shows than yesterday. Yeah. But to say it was pathetic... It was a pathetic show that Owen and I put forth yesterday.
That really hurt. Whenever Jamie's not here, I'm like, okay, you kind of got to have a good show here. There's just two guys.
You can't go baby monkey.
You were pathetic.
You can't go baby monkey on a two-man show.
No. You can't, and I tried not to, but apparently I was just awful.
I didn't think you mailed anything, and I thought we were okay. I thought we had some energy going, but apparently not.
On a two-man show, you can't really, unless you want to put yourself in a situation where you want your radio partner to go, like, hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Which you can kind of let it slip in a three-man show, which I take full advantage of at times.
Yeah.
But two men, you can't
do. But Hayes, I mean, you did three years of your own show?
Well, I did more than that, yeah, a long time.
3 hours by yourself.
I used to do 4 hours on my own.
Yelling and screaming and barking.
Imagine doing 4 hours on your own when I was raw. Like, I was young. I was just getting into the business. I can't believe they allowed me to do that. Like, I still can't believe they employed me and allowed me to do it.
Hot take after a hot take.
Oh, man. I came in with pages of takes.
But you'd be yelling at yourself.
Yeah, basically. The hardest part of doing that would have been the prep, no? And writing.
Yeah, I was prepping nonstop. Because if I ran out of steam on a topic, I'm like, all right, where am I going now? Tulowitzki's got bone spurs. Here's my take. All right, anyway, we got Luke Robitaille. We got a Hall of Famer on the line. Yeah. He's listening to me talk about when I used to waste people's time on the radio. I'm wasting his time. Here's the president of the LA Kings Hall of Famer, Luke Robitaille. Do you feel like we were just wasting your time, Luke?
I know. It was actually great entertainment.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Thank you. That's great. Coming from you, that's
your
great.
Your ratings must be through the roof.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Oh, yeah. It's usually, listeners really feel engaged when we ask guests if we're wasting their time. It's usually very good for the ratings. Anyway, you guys caused a big stir last night. You acquired Dion Phaneuf and Marion Gaborik, who was a part of the Cup run in 2014 and was a part of your team in the past few years. Take us through how this deal all went down. How long were you chasing a guy like Dion Phaneuf?
I think it's a deal Blakey's been talking with Pierre for a long time. It's something we always knew. We wanted to add a D to our lineup that had some experience. And this is something that they've been talking for a long time, and then it went quiet, and then it reopened and so forth. But it's been going for a while, and it was important to Blakey and us just to make sure that we could add one D with experience for us.
Luke, now with the landscape of the game, with the cap involved, and this being a business decision, it's not just player for player. You have to take a look at contracts, and you have to take a look at a lot of different other factors when it comes to making a trade in today's world. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely has a big play. We couldn't make it work unless Ottawa was willing to work with us, and they were. And so because of that, that's why it happened. And then, it's the same thing for us. Acquiring Nate Thompson is going to be a great guy to play on our lineup. But at the same time, we had to give up a kid that's been really good with us, and Nick Shore. But definitely the business side of it makes it a lot more complicated, I'm sure, than when in the 90s and so forth when there was no cap.
With Luke Robitaille, president of the Kings, it's amazing to look at the standings day in, day out, and track who all of you guys are chasing in the Pacific. You're chasing an expansion team, the Vegas Golden Knights, who have been unbelievable all year. They're one of the best teams in the league. As a former player yourself, and now as a guy in management, does this fascinate you? Does it bother you? Does it agitate you? What's your reaction to the success of Vegas?
I know, it's kind of funny. We stopped looking at them. it's like they win every game. So we're like, okay, we're not chasing them, that's for sure. But I'll tell you, when I watch the game, you got to give him credit. You got to give George a lot of credit for picking the right guys, and Gerard, the way he's coaching them. They seem to have a team that everybody is buying into the system. They play with a ton of speed. Their defense are involved on every attack. I mean, it's one of those teams that you never seem to see a hole. It seemed like every time there's a line out there, they look the same as the line before. And it's very rare that you have that for 82 games. And so far, I mean, I give them credit. They've had that for 55 games this year, where every night it seems like they're going like full throttle. And it's a very special team to watch, actually.
With Lou Grobatai, president of the LA Kings, we're all big fans of Drew Doughty, the way he plays, the way he performs. But from a radio guy's perspective, also the way he talks, he is not shy. Drew will tell you what's on his mind. And we all know he's a free agent next summer. And he's been pretty open about free agency and what he's looking for. And he's always said, you know, he'd love to be a King, and he wants to be a King, and he loves being a King. But how do you feel about it as a front office type, a guy that I would presume would be involved in the negotiations, how open he's been about his pending free agency?
For us, you know, we love Drew's play, and we don't love his interview with you guys. No, we, you know, there's never even a question in our mind like Drew's going to be a King and he's going to be with us. I mean, he's a very special player. He plays with an extreme amount of passion, and he's one of those guys that, you know, he found a way that whether he gets a goal or not, he plays the game like so well at both ends. He's definitely, for us, the best defenseman in the league in his own end. And I'm not even talking about what he does, you know, offensively. And he's one of those very special players. And we wouldn't be where we're at today without him. And we know we can't have success without him. So in our mind, he's with us. He's going to stay with us.
And you guys have had
we'll figure out a way.
Okay. Yeah, that's not what I want to hear, but that's okay. I can understand why you would want to say it and why you would stand by it. Yeah. You've had a lot of success with him. I mean, you guys have been one of the best teams in the league for the past 7 or 8 years. Yet, you know, last year you took a bit of a step back and you made a coaching change, but it didn't seem like you overreacted when it came to decisions with player personnel. And every year there's a team that expects to do great or has had past success. Chicago's going through it right now. And then people yell and scream about how they got to trade this player, fire this guy, fire that guy. How difficult was it, or was it difficult at all, for you guys to take a step back and realize you still had a good team and you just had to take another kick at the can this year?
Yeah, we like our core, you know, and that obviously it involves Jonathan Quick, you know, Anze Kopitar and Drew. And I give a lot of credit to Anze Kopitar. He had a really good summer. He got ready for this year, and he's showing it. And Drew's always ready. And Jeff Carter, unfortunately for him, he got hurt. But, you know, we like our core. Like Alec Martinez, Jake Muzzin, these guys had great summers, and it's showing this year. And Tyler Toffoli had a good summer, too. So that's why I think there was no panic. It was more very important for us to talk to them and to make sure they were doing all the right thing. I mean, let's face it, players today, great players today, they don't train to get in shape in the summer. They train to get better. And I'm talking about like the Sidney Crosbys and the Jonathan Tays of the world. They try to do things that make them better for the next year. And that's why they seem to get better every year. And, you know, we saw we hear about Alex Ovechkin, how he had a great summer. He changed things, and look at the year he's having. So, you know, that's what we talked about with our core guys, about what they needed to do to just make sure that they get better with the talent they already have.
Luke, do you have any update on Jeff Carter? I know he's such a big part of the team, and he adds that balance and depth up front and that scoring touch. He's got to be close, or what's the update on him?
Well, he's skating. I saw him. He was skating today. He felt really good yesterday. I think he felt really good today. We're hoping that he can start skating with the team next week. And then after that, I think it's just when he's able to get some contact, you know, and more stop and goes. Because, you know, as you know, it's never the same when you're skating alone or a couple guys on the ice as of really going with the team. So we don't really have a date. We always thought it would be around the trade deadline. You know, maybe the first week of March, but we're not really sure. We don't have like a hard date yet.
Well, best of luck down the stretch. The trade deadline, less than 2 weeks away. You made a big deal last night. Are you guys expecting more activity? Are you hoping to be more active, or kind of comfortable with what you have now?
I think Blake, he's listening, but you know, I think we're comfortable with what we have now. But you know, it's just like every other GM. Like, you know, you're always listening and talking to people. But right now, we're really comfortable with the guys we have.
Well, best of luck with that and the stretch run. We always appreciate you taking time for us, and say hi to Drew Doughty for us. I'm sure we'll catch up with him down the road.
I will, guys. Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
There's a Hall of Famer and president of the Kings, Luke Robitaille. I like that. Love Drew Doughty. Not a fan of the interviews. Because he causes a stir. Like, you he know does. Anytime a guy of that prominence is going to talk about potentially being a free agent and getting paid and what it would be like to play in Toronto.
Well, if you were the president of a team and your guy came out and said that, what would your words of wisdom be?
Yeah, that's...
I wouldn't be happy, but no, I'd also kidding. Understand that there's nothing I can do. Doughty holds all the cards. He's Drew Doughty. He's one of the best players, maybe the best player in franchise history outside of 99, I guess. But is Doughty the best king of all time? Even with Gretzky. Like, Gretzky... Was Gretzky...
You just can't...
It's Gretzky. It's Gretzky, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he was when he was with the Oilers, he didn't win a cup with the Kings.
Well, there's Rob Blake. He's a Hall of Famer.
Drew Doughty's going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lock. So he could retire today. He's going in.
Yeah. No, he's not. Today?
Yes, today. If Drew Doughty retired today, he'd go in.
Norris, gold medal.
Two gold medals, two cups, a Norris.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, Cam Neely didn't have that, and Cam Neely went in with, what, 700 games?
Yeah, I think Drew Doughty would be, I mean, you love the term Hall of Famer. Like, you've thrown it around.
What, do you think that's crazy? You don't think he'd be in if he retired today?
I think he would be, but I'm biased, and I don't vote, and I still don't understand. And as much as I study hockey, I still don't understand what gets you into the Hall of Fame or not. I mean,
okay,
depending on what past criteria. You get it. Special players? Absolutely. Locks.
Yeah, he's got 400 points in 744 games.
He's played 744 games. Cam Neely's always the guy you look at, right, that got in? 726. Neely played 726. He got in. Never won a Hart. Never won...
By the way, some nice, like, durability, 81, 82, 76, 77, 78, 82, 82, 82.
You know who...
This guy plays every night.
He'd be a lock.
When I was looking at it last night, you know who's played every game in the last 8 years?
Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on cruise control last night, but he had a couple good plays. Like,
that's the beauty of him, though.
I watched him in warm-up.
There is no athlete in the NHL who cares less about warm-up.
He got out, did two laps, went and checked his skate, had something going on with skate, switched
And by sticks. The way, checking your skate is a way to not do anything for 4 minutes.
I and love that move, checking my skate.
Went out, took line rushes, was late on the line rush, got in there. I was watching him. I had the ISO cam on him. It was awesome.
But what does it matter anymore?
It doesn't matter. This guy knows how to play hockey, and he's a great hockey player.
That's the most interesting Hall of Fame debate in pro hockey today.
What's that?
Is Phil Kessel.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's won two cups now.
Yeah.
He's gonna have a ton of points. He's going to end up playing like 1,600 games because he never misses a game.
Knock on wood.
You know, he's played international hockey.
Yeah, like it's...
Like Phil is going to be on the brink... Hall of Famer. You think he's already in?
Well, I mean, take a look at the criteria. I don't know what the criteria is. I've just told you that.
You base it on comparisons. Like, Mark Recchi just got in.
Yeah, but
Dave Andrechuk just got
Mark
in.
Mark Recchi played 1,600 games.
Right, and won a bunch of cups.
I think the comparables are going to be so hard going forward because the point totals, the...
Guys to get 100 points.
Yeah, like nobody gets 100 points anymore. It's like one guy a year, and you're talking about passing over guys that had 10, 12, 1,300-point seasons. So the point total is going to be so hard
I don't think Phil's in right now. I think he's got to do more. I think he's got to win more. I think he's got to consistently put up numbers.
Yeah, but don't you think in the future they're going to be thinking, like, who the hell are we going to put in here?
Well, who's the cutoff? But,
well, every era's got great players.
But who's the, like, for me, what's the goal cutoff?
600? I don't know. That changes all the time.
Right.
Like, that.
Like, Aginla's a lock.
Yeah, I think Aginla's a lock.
Like, for me, he's an absolute lock.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's got the same case Shanahan had. Shanahan had to wait a year, though.
Right.
That was a ridiculous. Three cups and 600 goals. And
he was on that 0-2 Salt Lake City team. He was there in 98.
That was crazy.
But if he had to wait a year, Aginla might have to wait a year, but...
Well, it depends on what year he... I mean, if he... Technically, I think he's not retired. There's still a chance he I don't know, plays this year. And if he doesn't, then is he retired starting when? Do you backdate it?
Yeah, I guess you have to. I don't know.
I would see what he's up to and say, you want to do a Mike Fisher deal here? Just come in and...
Well, all the reports I hear is that he's working out hard in Boston. Like, that's where his family is and that's where he is. Doesn't mean linked to the Bruins, but there's, again, some interest to people kicking tires to see what a guy like Jerome Iginla would be up to. Now, who would grab him at the deadline? That's the question. Is it a team that's trying to make the playoffs? Is it a team that's in the playoffs that just wants some depth? I don't know. But it's hard at 40 years old to get on a moving train. Ask Jaromír Jágr.
Yeah, he's got to start playing.
Right? He should have. I mean, if he was healthy, would have been playing in the Olympics right now.
But that's, I'm not even sure that's going to help. Then you got to go halfway around the world.
Yeah.
You're playing with guys who aren't in the NHL. That's not NHL hockey. We just saw it today.
Yeah, but you got to play some form of organized hockey, even for your timing and stuff. That's the problem.
That's a segue into Johnny Manziel, and it doesn't sound like Manziel's coming to the CFL.
I'm sick of talking about him. Either just...
Well, he signed on with the Spring League, some league down in Texas, I think it is. It's basically 2 weeks. He's going to play
California
a couple of games.
The California Penal League. That's where he's playing.
Yeah. And there's going to be some scouts. There's an element of arrogance that comes with this. Like, he still thinks the NFL is just going to be fawning over him because he gets out there and he's healthy and he plays well in the Spring League. Like, there will be scouts and there will be viewers. It'll be streaming online. It'll be on Facebook Live or whatever. It'll create a buzz. But I think this is him saying, I'm not coming to the CFL because I'm better than that, or they're not going to pay me $1 million, which they don't to anybody.
Right.
So I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to light up some league no one's heard of before, and then immediately at least one NFL team, if not more, just going to give him a contract. That's not going to happen.
No.
Like, that is not going to happen. He's got to come to the CFL and dominate for 2 or 3 years if he wants to get back, because the whole PR spin is happening right now.
He's got to be Doug Flutie. He's got to come up and, like, be a smaller quarterback in the CFL.
I don't even think it'll take 2 or 3 years. I think there's so much more desperation in sports these days. You come and get it dialed in for a year or so and be like, oh, I want a piece of that.
Yeah, maybe. And he was a first-round pick and a Heisman winner.
You got to be good. You come up here and be mediocre, where it's a different game up here. What if I think that's the element that Johnny Manziel is talking about right now. Maybe in the back of his mind, he's like, I go up to a different league and I don't show well.
You're done. But what if he doesn't show well here? Like, maybe then...
People will be like, oh, he's rusty. Or like, there's always the built-in excuse. That's the problem now with everyone today. They've got the built-in excuse instead of... I'd like to see people come out and own it. Say, I'm not good enough.
I'm not going to be good enough. I suck.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, I know.
At least saying, I haven't been good enough, I'm out of shape, or whatever.
Well, if he's out of shape, then he's done, because that means he's not taking it seriously. Like, right. We just talked about Aginla. Aginla's got to be an unbelievable shape. He's got to be in the shape of a 30-year-old
right.
If he wants to play.
And he always has been, but the thing is, even if he hasn't slowed down, the game is sped up.
Right.
Just the players and the legs around him.
Oh, that's the first thing you have to cross off the list. Okay, right. He's in shape. He's ready to play.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if Manziel shows up at this donkey league that no one's heard of before and he's 20 pounds over, scouts are going to say, why did you waste our time? Why are we here?
Donkey league.
Well, that's what it is. It's like a prep league hoping that a scout will see something and give you an opportunity to show up at... like an OTA for the NFL.
Yeah.
And I guess with this, he's not completely putting the CFL to bed. Because if he goes there and shows well but doesn't get an NFL job, maybe the Ticats or someone else comes calling for him and he still ends up in the CFL. But as of right now, it doesn't seem overly likely. Leafs in action tonight, Columbus in town. Scoreboard is back into the position it's supposed to be in, so we will have a game tonight. Raptors coming off a win last night. They're in Chicago tonight. We'll tee that up. We'll tee up the Leaf game. We'll get into Cleveland's win last night in Oklahoma City, how that's causing a stir throughout the NBA. And maybe back into what John Gibbons had to say about Tulo earlier this afternoon.
Awful start.
Just not exactly the start you were hoping for.
Like if there's a top two or three things you didn't want to hear in the first or second day, that's probably one of them.
Update on the status, the health status of Tulo and what Sanchez said about his blisters and that and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. On Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets this week to see the Leafs take on the New York Islanders on February 22nd down at the ACC. And the theme this week, former Maple Leafs who are at some point during his career a teammate of Garth Algar Snow.
Wow.
Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Alex McGillney, who was a teammate of Garth Algar Snow's in Vancouver. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com.
Garth Algar. They are, man, they got to get a goalie. They can't help themselves.
Who are they going to get? Like, what goalies are out there?
Said, Peter Mrazek's not the answer, though. That's the problem. I saw a couple people suggesting that on Twitter last night. Mrazek hasn't done the job in Detroit.
The Islanders just saw what Peter Mrazek is all about. They scored four times on him on a 5-on-4.
Yeah. No, I know.
Can you imagine walking out of the building and being like, that guy's the guy that we need?
No. Maybe we should get him.
He was so bad. Anyway.
If I was Garth Snow, would you take a flyer on Craig Anderson? 36, has playoff experience, good goalie, not having a great year.
The question
but
is, he's an upgrade on those two. Is the decision ultimately going to affect another decision?
Well, that's ultimately what you're talking about.
Yeah, like don't you got to be thinking if you're Algar, I got to get a goal in here where Johnny T's like, man, I want to move forward with that.
I don't think it's Craig Anderson.
I don't think there's a guy out there that can make John Tavares say, yeah, I want to move forward with this group. There's not a guy out there.
Well,
even the talk of Lundqvist jumping ship and going over to the island, that's not going to...
Well, if Lundqvist did, that at least... Because that team's talented. They've got some forwards up front that are pretty good. Not just Barzal. Like they're a decent team. Like Boychuk's coming back. They just don't have the goaltending. And the way that Waite coaches too, that's one thing. He coaches a lot like Sather and Muckler in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
This team could score, but they give up the most too.
That's not getting brought up a lot. Remember Doug Waite, where he's like, I only want former players on the staff and we need more former players. When are the former players gonna teach the New York Islanders how to defend? They give up 40 shots every single night.
Yeah, they give up the
every
most.
Single night.
I think it's they are, if they're not bottom, they're closer. I can look at, but they score close to the most in the National Hockey League, and they give up the most. So it's a track meet every night on that team.
And listen, the Maple Leafs were in that spot at times this year, certainly at times a year ago, and everyone was aware of it. You have to clean it up.
Yeah.
You have to clean up your defensive play.
Clean it up.
I love that teaching. When are they going to teach them how to defend? If you don't know at that level how to be conscious of your own zone.
But to me, it's about accountability. Like that's the, hey, you're not going to play smart. You're not going to play. That's the only chip that the coach has. You're not taking money away from him. You're not, you know, a lot of the players outlast the coach. So what do you say to them is, the only thing I've got is, you don't want to play the way I want you to play, you're going to sit here next to me on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Which Doug Waite did to Matt Barzal a couple of games ago.
Yeah, and Barzal came out and, I love his comments though, he came out and owned it.
He wasn't playing well enough, but it's also a scenario where it's like, was that the right time to try to prove a point?
Yeah.
You're fighting for a playoff spot and the guy's been arguably your best player, if not right there with Tavares all year, and...
But they're, you know,
just interesting timing to be.
You're right.
If a guy's not going that night,
he just doesn't have it. There's players. I always respected Brett Hull Because there's nights where he would literally walk into the dressing room and say, guys, I've got nothing. I'm brutal. Don't pass me the puck. And he would be. That was it. So you could almost see the dressing room or his line shift where they're like, we're keeping the puck away from this guy.
I'm with you. But if it's like 6-on-5 late, wouldn't you set him up on the top of the dots and be like, you know what, Brett,
probably,
I know you've been brutal, but you're still Brett Hall. Go stand over there.
You probably know that he can get you. That's the double-edged sword for a coach, because you got a player who stunk all night, but he can be your difference maker with one shot.
Absolutely.
But chances are on that night he'll fire it wide because he's not sharp.
Well, and as we segue into the NBA with Cleveland winning in Oklahoma City, that's the amazing thing about LeBron.
Yeah.
Is that LeBron could never do that and can never say that because he is the whole team, like even more so than he ever has been.
Yeah.
He's been the whole team there, even with Kyrie, even with Kevin Love. They did not have enough, unless LeBron played out of this world, for them to get to the NBA Finals, let alone compete and win against Golden State. Same thing in Miami, certainly same thing in Cleveland when he was there early in his career. And now it's only more accentuated with a lot of the big names and power hitters that they shipped out earlier in the week or late last week, because, you know, Larry Nance Jr. is not going to do it.
Right.
Jordan Clarkson's not going to do it. Rodney Hood's not going to do it. George Hill isn't going to do it. It's even more on LeBron. And in a way, if he finds a way to get back to the NBA Finals for the 8th time in a row, this might be the most impressive magic trick he's ever pulled off.
You really think he's going to do it again 8 times in a row?
I would say he's the favorite right now. As well as the Raptors have been playing in Boston, and the Raps at home are 24-4.
Yeah.
And we all love Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright and Jakob Poeltl. And how can you bet against LeBron in the playoffs?
I don't know, man. Scary stuff.
Like, if you're a Raptors fan, answer me this. Would you flip rosters right now?
I think any Raptors fan would say yeah.
Yeah. There's the answer.
Because of one guy.
Because of LeBron. Even though, like, some Raptors fans would be like, no, I'm committed to these guys. They're the underdogs. And I understand that take.
Right.
I understand that angle. You get no love from the American media. And now it's even more so because of the trades in Cleveland. And you love DeMar, you love Lowry, all that kind of stuff. I understand there's sentimental value. But if you can be objective, as close to it as possible as a fan, even with as good of a season as the Raptors are having, and they're having the greatest season in franchise history, they're going to finish more than likely first overall in the East. They're going to have home court. I'd still take the Cavs roster right now.
I've said ever
because
since
of LeBron.
I started doing this show, winning in sports is all about elite talent. If you don't have it, you generally don't win.
Mm-hmm. And LeBron is the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's the biggest soap opera in pro sports. We live in the hot take era of television, radio, podcasting, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and he's the king of it all. Like, there's nobody that has been talked more about over the past 10 years than LeBron.
Yeah, he is.
Who? Like, the NFL's a bigger product, more popular product in the states. There isn't an NFL player that's been talked about as much as LeBron has.
That's true. He is a, you know, he's a guy that, but he
deserves every take. He deserves all the energy being directed towards him because of how great he is.
But how is he that polarizing, though? Like, that's the thing. People love to hate him. Like, Brady?
Now, Brady, there's a lot of similarities there, though. Like, people love to hate Brady. They want to see Brady fail. You know?
Is this the year that LeBron fails, where, like, Brady did? And ultimately,
I hope so. As much as I love LeBron, I'd rather move on, and I'd rather see the Raptors clearly end up in the NBA Finals.
Right.
But let's say he gets there again. That's 8 years in a row. Like, you guys are pro athletes.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine going to the Cup Final 8 years in a row?
No, it's crazy.
I did it one time, and at training camp the next year, I'm like, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready to do this again.
Try 7 more times after that.
You're done end of June, right?
Mm-hmm. Mid-June.
And then you got July, and then August. Like, you got to ramp it up.
Yeah, you're back in camp in September.
I was not ready for that.
And he plays more minutes than anybody in the league during the regular season.
And by the way, and then as soon as the season's over, he's back in the gym the next day.
Mm-hmm. Win, lose, or draw.
On the selfie cam, on the Instagram. Mm-hmm.
It's painful. It's very painful. But you have to do it to have that kind of success.
There was a time last year, right at the end of the season, where LeBron, I think he went somewhere tropical. It looked like he was in the Bahamas or somewhere. Do you remember him singing on his Instagram at the bar? He was singing Michael Jackson.
Really? I don't remember that.
Unreal. because he had like an extended post, and it was like he didn't care. He was he had bellied up to like a tiki bar, and Michael Jackson was playing, and he started singing into his Instagram and posted it. I thought it was amazing. Well, because here's a star just being real, having a couple drinks, and he's in paradise, obviously. I don't know what island he was sitting on.
Probably was at his own island.
Probably. But it was, and the bartender's just loving it. Like, he's just chilling with LeBron. Like, I that to me, outside of all of the nonsense that comes with him and how he can be a drama queen or whatever you want to call it, or it just seemed there was a moment of humility where it's like, I don't care, I'm just going to sing and drink at this bar and have a great time.
He puts himself out there more than any other superstar.
Right.
Brady is starting to do it with Instagram, and he's posting more stuff. And
right, right.
He doesn't seem overly comfortable. He's been so sheltered, and that's been self-inflicted forever. But I don't know who that guy is in baseball. Like, I can't think of the... Because, like, the best player in the game is Mike Trout. Trout's got no personality.
No.
I don't see Mike Trout on Instagram letting people behind the
curtain
to find out what he's doing with his personal life. And like, Sid doesn't do that. McDavid doesn't do that.
No.
Bryce Harper?
Maybe Harper, but like, I'm sure he's on Instagram. I know he's on, you know, they're on Twitter and stuff.
Upton's husband or Verlander?
No, Verlander's only through Kate Upton. Like, Upton will show him doing stuff, but I don't think Verlander's a guy who's openly doing that a lot. But we're talking about the greats. Like,
yeah.
LeBron and Brady are the two greats. Brady just getting on it now, and a lot of that is based on him trying to build his brand.
Right.
And he's got the documentary out and the books out and all that kind of stuff.
And Giselle,
the TV12 stuff.
Has her following, too.
But, you know, LeBron, he doesn't have to do it. He's doing it for free on Instagram, like Insta stories and posting. And
yeah,
he's willing to show you, even if it's fake and a lot of it is manipulated. You know, he's not going to put up stupid stuff or stuff that's going to make him look completely ridiculous. He's LeBron, and he opens it up to something at the very least.
Although he did put one thing up that you thought was stupid, congratulating his younger self
for reaching 30,000 points.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah. That was outrageously stupid.
No, I
admittedly.
Know, but it was.
To which I sent you a post saying, you are not the donkey you once were.
Mm-hmm. Back when I was doing 4 hours of radio.
Peter Griffin.
No wonder I couldn't get into the gym. I couldn't get a diet going. I was on the radio yelling all the time by myself.
What was your feed before you started the 4-hour marathon? Or did you like have to eat early?
Well, it was a lot of carbs. There were carbs.
Yeah, were you a wheel guy?
I loved a wheel. Loved a wheel. I think that's what we might be doing tonight. It's Valentine's, and we're getting very romantic tonight.
You're looking at a wheel?
You're going to order some food.
I told you what I've got going.
Yeah, you're going out. You're going to wine and dine Steph. She's a lucky woman.
I don't know about that. She is lucky. She's been on a one-way contract for a while.
No trade.
Heading to Florida this weekend.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. You know, she needs a break.
Yeah, I guess. Are the kids going with her or what?
Yeah. Yeah, she'd bring the kids.
Okay.
But, you know, lazy
need
needs
a break.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we'll get to our... Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. That goes over well on Valentine's. Trying to watch the two hockey games and the basketball games tonight. We'll get to our Best Bets. We'll tee up the two games. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Chicago's not very good, but they're not as horrible as some people thought they would be. And the Raptors do not have a very good history in Chicago over the past few years. So you're getting 7.5, best of both worlds.
A lot of players gone from that.
They're brutal. They're not very good. But the All-Star break starts after this game. You're in Chicago.
Yeah, it's good.
Dwayne Casey he hinted he's a little bit of afraid of what's around the corner.
Mm-hmm. I think Raptors win, but I think the Bulls might keep it close tonight. Houston is going to destroy Sacramento at home. They might go Steve Kerr. Mike D'Antoni might go Steve Kerr tonight.
Just let them coach themselves?
Yeah. Here, Chris Paul, James Harden, go out there and do your own thing. And Golden State, after that maneuver a couple of nights ago by Steve Kerr, I think they win in Portland. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. How are we feeling about Columbus tonight? They're playing their backup again, but he's played really well against the Maple Leafs.
The Leafs better be expected the full meal deal here because they are desperation mode now.
Yeah, Columbus is a little pissed.
I think they scratched out a tight one the last time in here, like an overtime winner maybe, or maybe.
Yeah, they came back. There was one of those Morgan Riley. It was either the pass that he made or the pinch.
The stretch pass and Seth Jones, and they tied it up, and then another gaff. And
yeah, that was and they beat him in overtime.
But you know what? How about the other way around it? Be confident. Mm-hmm. Say, we're rolling right now. You're Columbus. You're not playing good. That's what good teams, back when me and him played, they would just steamroll you if you were struggling.
Leafs are going for 9 of 10.
Yeah, so just steamroll
the team. They're playing
well. Yeah, 9 of 10. First time they would be doing that in over 14 years if they win tonight. 9 of 10.
Impressive.
They're playing really well. And Freddie's going to play. McElhinney will get a start this weekend.
Yeah, I'd like to see Freddie's minutes just taper off slightly.
Me too, because, listen, there's 25 games left. There's a lot of opportunity for the standings to maneuver. We know the three teams that are going.
Right.
But there's still a chance they could catch Boston or Tampa. They still play them multiple times. Right. Maybe one of them hits a skid and the Leafs stay hot.
Yeah.
But with every 4 or 5 games, you realize, you know what, you're going to be the third seed. You're starting on the road. If that's the case,
well, just
play McElhinney. Reduce the minutes.
Invest in his body. I had a good chat with him the other day, and he said he's feeling great, very comfortable and things. But again, you just want to make sure that his body and his mind are sharp at the right time. So, they know what they're doing there as far as handling him. Steve Briere does a good job, but I would just like to see them pull the reins back on him a little bit. I'm sure they're going to have some select starts for McElhinney down the stretch here.
We threw it out there earlier. I don't know how this came up. I think we were talking about the SI swimsuit, and we brought up the ESPN body issue, and we were asking people, would you be interested in seeing an overdrive body issue? 52% of voters online saying no guy.
It's close, though. I thought that would be like a 90-10.
That's a coin flip. There's some freaky people out there that would want to see that.
1,700 votes.
Yeah, so that will continue. Jerry serenading us earlier. You can find that on our Instagram account, at TSN1050. At
Jerry
TSN1050 on
was
Instagram.
Out of tune. He struggled with the lyrics.
Yeah, that might be it for him singing for a while.
For a long time.
All right, Leafs Columbus tonight. Enjoy that. Raps in Chicago taking on the Bulls. Enjoy that.
We're going to talk about both tomorrow at 4:00.
We'll chat there.